Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. Yes, this is the day the Lord has made, and we will try to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Through all of life's trials and tribulations, and yes, we all have them. And, of course, we know that Rod Parsley, the television preacher who has a ministry called Breakthrough, and then he also has a Bible college called Valor Christian College, and then he has also a church, World Harvest, there in Columbus, Ohio, and he's been at it for, he says he's been in ministry for 40 years, but is he really in ministry? What kind of ministry does Rod Parsley really do? And we are going to have a very special guest today, Nate Bryce. And he was a student at World Harvest when it was called World Harvest, which is now Valor Christian College. So he is going to give us his testimony of what happened while he was there and what he saw. Now, I've been around Bible college students myself. I worked for a short time at a Bible school and did some classes there. I love Bible college students because anybody that takes time out of their life, gives up their job and gives up whatever else they're doing to go sit in a classroom for hours every day to learn the Word of God, these people are dedicated. They want to do something for the Lord. So they're hungry for the Word. They're hungry for fellowship. We loved going to church. We loved going to the meetings. Oh, we were in church every day over there at New Life whenever they would have special teachers coming in, and they would have two or three classes a day and then a service in the evening. So we were there all the time. That was our life. But anyway, Isaiah 51:1 says, "Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins." So we cry aloud, we spare not, and the issue that we have, we realize, of course, that Christians are not perfect. There are some people that call themselves Christians, but they're not really Christians. They're wolves in sheep's clothing. They come to fleece the flock, to scam people using the name of Jesus. Now, I find these people, in my mind, reprobates. We realize that people can fall into sin even though they claim to be a Christian or they are a Christian. And if they ask for forgiveness, we're a forgiving people. We can forgive and we can see that brother restored. But when we see such a person like Rod Parsley, who he doesn't repent. No, even after going through being silent and being out of his pulpit for 100 days with throat cancer, even after he goes through 28 radiation treatments, does he change? Does he come back and repent before the body of Christ? No, not Rod Parsley, no. Rod Parsley goes right back to scamming. Right back to scamming people and asking people to send money in So they can get a miracle just like he got a miracle. Well, he didn't get a miracle, okay? When you miracles are when you don't go to the doctor and you don't get 28 radiation treatments. That's a miracle. When you get healed miraculously by God. But if you go to the hospital and you get radiation treatments and you have to go through medical treatment, that's not a miracle. That's not a miracle. So Rod Parsley, he's not a walking miracle. And he just wrote a new book that he put out. He calls himself, he's telling you that you can have this miracle too, just like he got. But he didn't get a miracle. No, he didn't get a miracle. Anyway, we're going to bring on our guest, Nate.
Hi, are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
I am.
Can you hear me?
Are you on a cell phone or on a landline?
I'm on a cell phone and I have you on speaker, so I hope it comes in clear.
Yeah, if it doesn't, I'll let you know. Do you have a landline? Sometimes it's,
unfortunately, no, I don't.
Okay, then. All right. All right, so we'll make the best of it then. Usually you get a better quality when you have a landline, but we'll try it.
Yeah, we'll give it a shot.
Yeah. So, Nate, welcome to the
broadcast.
Yeah. And how did you find our program?
I am a big fan of any Christian research programs that are done that are centered upon apologetics and defending the true Christian faith and the true gospel. And I found you on iTunes. I forget who I was searching at the time, but ever since I discovered that the things I'm going to talk to you about are false, I've just scoured the internet looking for other people that to listen to and support that are on the same mission of speaking biblical. And that's how I found you. I can't remember which scam artist you were covering at the time when I found you, whether it was Paula White or Copeland or Hinn or one of the other bozos, but I found you.
Yeah, we find each other. We find each other.
Yes, yes. It needs to be done. People need to who believe in the true gospel of Jesus Christ and the true Bible come together and start using the internet as the medium that it is to get the faith out there, I think. So
that's true, because as long as we have it and
right.
they can't shut us up,
no.
I know it irritates them that they're being exposed, but
well,
we're not going away.
No, and if they want to tickle people's ears to tell them what they want, I'll be glad to be an earworm and annoy them until they repent.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you would too. I mean, this stuff has got to stop because people are being sold lies, and it hurts.
Yeah, it hurts. It hurts. It does. It hurts people, and that's not what we're supposed to be about, especially if we're talking about Jesus, who obviously, he doesn't want to hurt people since he died for people. And I know the Lord doesn't take it lightly. I know that sometimes people think, oh, why don't you just pray for these people and stop exposing them? Well, I have not gone into a church building like Jesus did when he went into the temple with a whip. I didn't do that yet. I didn't overturn their tables, their money changer tables. So I didn't go that far yet.
No, neither have I, and I'm sure neither of any of the other ministers that are out there doing what you do on the internet would have done that. And frankly, I don't know how much I would have the courage to even attempt that, but that's why the Messiah did it, because he's the only one who could do something like that and be completely righteous about it.
Yeah,
so.
that's true, because his anger was righteous anger, and
right, and he came to fulfill the scriptures, because, and I'm going to throw this out there now, so if there's any doubt in anybody's mind, the Bible is 100% about Jesus Christ. It's not about us, unless you're reading about being a sinner, because you and I, we're sinners, and we needed to be born again. And the Bible is about Jesus Christ. And even in the small detail of crafting a whip, throw the people out of the synagogue that were abusing the temple, he was fulfilling scripture.
Yeah.
And I think that's important. Everything about every sentence in the Bible points to Jesus Christ. And we forget that because of these television ministers that are out there deceiving people.
Yeah. It's become so rampant, and it's such an abomination to see what's happened, because a very good way to get the gospel out, of course, is through television. Yikes, you can reach so many people. But yet, again, of course, you can reach people, millions of people on the internet, too, and you don't have to spend millions of dollars for TV airtime. But how it's been abused and how really it's made a laughingstock out of Christianity to unbelievers, for them to see it, because they see it, and even they call it what it is. And
right.
The people in the church are, these people are continuing to get offerings, and they get big offerings, and they get thousands of offerings, people sending in these so-called seed faith gifts to buy their miracles, which no one, there isn't one account anywhere in Scripture of Jesus, anyone coming up to Jesus with a shekel or a gold coin or anything,
no.
Anyone handing him any kind of money for him to do anything for them. He didn't do it. It's just not there. It's not true.
No.
It's an abomination. And we want it to stop. We want people to wake up. Look, wake up. You don't have to give God any money. He doesn't need money. He doesn't use money. We use money. Giving is an act of love. And don't let them tell you anything else. Run for your life from these people. I'm going to ask Nate how he got out of World Harvest. How did he escape? And so, Nate, how did you come to go to World Harvest, and when was that?
Well, it all started for me when I was a sophomore in high school, in the mid-90s. I got into it through the Word of Faith heresy, and I'm going to call it a heresy because I know you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It is a heresy. And what happened was, you know, I was a kid. I was a teenager, and the Lord had been working on and drawing me to the Bible at a young age, because I grew up in a Christian home. My parents were the ones who shared the gospel with me and led me to the Lord, and I praise the Lord for that. But when I was a teenager, I was getting to that point. I was about 16, you know, and I was getting to that point where I really needed to read the Bible for myself, and I know that the Lord was putting a hunger in me for that.
Yeah.
And another one of my classmates was feeling the same, and his church had a bookstore that sold a lot of the old Word of Faith heresy books, and I got into it because this buddy of mine, he was bringing in booklets from Kenneth Hagin.
Yeah.
And, you know, those little booklets, they're like a dollar.
Oh, yeah. I had them all.
Yeah, I got a pile of them somewhere. I keep them now for research. I don't believe it anymore. But anyway.
No, I don't either.
No, and I started reading about the Word of Faith and the classic instance of Mark 11:22-24, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them and ye shall have them.
Yeah.
You know, I believe, and I know you will agree with this, is that scripture interprets scripture. And if you're going to take that verse and you're going to use it because you think that it's a lottery ticket that'll never lose, you need to read 1 John chapter 5, because that teaches you that whatever we ask the Lord, if it is his will, he will grant it to us.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that at the time, so I took it and ran.
Yeah.
But the, you know, like I said, I was a kid. I didn't know any better, but the Lord was very merciful, because even though I was reading books that I know are now heresy,
yeah,
he was still good, and he still took those errors and taught me in the end how to love my brothers and sisters in Christ, because I went to a Christian school.
And uh-huh.
Even though I was reading false teaching, the Holy Spirit was still using those errors to teach me how to love my brothers and sisters in Christ and how to show compassion, because I went to a school where there were kids that had a lot of problems.
Yeah.
And they needed brothers and sisters. And so in the end, it all worked out, because that's what the Lord does. Now,
yeah.
I didn't get in touch with World Harvest until a couple of years later. Well, it was about my senior year in high school. I think it was my junior year. I was watching Christian television, because that's kind of the trend. You get into the books, and then you get into the TV. And then, and Rod was a guest on an old Benny Hinn program, and that's how I found out about Rod. And then I found his Breakthrough Television Ministry, and it was so dynamic. And so the man is a phenomenal charismatic.
He's got charisma. Yeah.
He's got charisma. He just isn't using it right.
No. He's twisted. Like that
right.
band Twisted Sister.
Oh, dear Lord, have mercy. Yeah. Well, if you want to play the pun game, I'm going to quote Twisted Sister, and we're not going to take it anymore. And that's why we're on.
Amen.
Yeah, but anyway, I saw his program, and I remember praying and saying, Lord, I would love to see that man in person, even if it's just once.
Yeah.
And then I found out that a girl in my church was going to his Bible college, and I about hit the floor, because I didn't know that I didn't know there was such a thing as a Bible college, let alone that he had one.
Oh, uh-huh.
So I was invited to an event that he holds every year called College Days. And College Days is where they open the door to everybody. Anybody who wants to come, they book the hotels, and people will open their homes to kids that are wanting to come and see. And I went for a weekend to see. And me and my family went. My parents and my siblings.
Yeah.
So we all went. We stayed in a hotel, and we went, and it was the most outrageous, most amazing production I've ever seen, but I'll leave it at that.
Were you there when the guy put the lampshade on his head?
No, I didn't see
that. You missed
that
one.
No,
they were on TV, and the guy had a lampshade on his head in the audience.
Well, I haven't seen it. That doesn't surprise me, but I didn't see that one.
Yeah.
No, what happened? See, here's the thing, and if there's anybody listening to your show right now who is young and has been to College Days, and you're thinking about filling out that application to go to that school, and you want to go, all I'm going to tell you is pay close attention, and before you set foot there, know your Bible. Because what you see at College Days is not entirely what goes on every day. What you are seeing at College Days is a big fundraiser. Because what they want is they want you to fill out the application, and to get you in, they will probably waive the application fee, and they'll lay hands on you, and you'll fall over, and the music will blast, and the lights will go, and everybody will go home on a buzz. That's what happens.
So how many people showed up at this event, would you say?
When I was there, I mean, we're hundreds. They come from all over the world, and I'm not making that up.
Yeah.
They come from other countries to this
And
thing.
What is the tuition to go there at the time when you were there?
It wasn't as expensive as a university, any major university. It was, you know, I think a couple thousand dollars a semester. I mean, it wasn't extremely expensive.
Yeah, and did they have dormitories there?
Yeah.
At the time?
At the time that I was there, they had two. They had the men's and the women's, and, you know, they had funny rules about that because, like, the women, you know, you're not allowed to go into the other dorms, but you could stay on the porch and talk to the girls. So, you know, all the guys, you know, flocked there because they wanted to pick up women.
Oh, of course.
Or some of them did. Some of them did. Not all of them, but some
yeah.
of them. That, yeah.
Yeah, of course. But then they do have dorms. I think they have four dorms now. I'm not sure.
Yeah, when I graduated, he was just laying the foundations for the new dorms.
Oh,
so
okay.
They were just breaking the ground, literally, on that.
Okay,
but,
and so you haven't been back since?
I haven't. I haven't. I attended from August of 2001, and I graduated September 2004.
Wow, so you were there a long time.
Yeah, it's a two-year school. Last I knew it was. It's a two-year school, but I was there for 3 years full-time, and I also spent a fourth year in the ministry.
Yeah.
I was a musician in the youth group, so I was there four years, 6 days a week for 4 years.
Wow.
It's long, but
yeah, you were doing your service for Jesus, so God could promote you.
It's not promotion. If you go to World Harvest, it's called impartation.
Oh,
but that's
maybe if you hang around Rod long enough, it'll rub off, right?
God forbid.
Well,
exactly. I'm going to go into detail and explain exactly more of what I just mentioned about this impartation stuff. But if I can change gears, I'm going to give you what I would call the four pillars of World Harvest Church. These are the four fundamentals that make his ministry function that he taught us, and he and his teachers, his buddies, taught us day in and day out. And I'm going to tell you this, there's always going to be questionable characters in anywhere you go, but there were truly some genuine, humble, loving men and women before the Lord that you would ever meet in your life.
There are always.
Unfortunately, one of them is gone on to be with the Lord. But if you remember a couple weeks ago, you had a caller call in. He said he spent about 15 years there. And he said that one of the elders was killed in a motorcycle accident.
Yeah.
If anybody's listening who knows the man, his name is Elder Tom Bender. And I tip my hat to him because he was, at the time that I was there, I would have called him the chief evangelist. If there was anything that man cared about, it was making sure that you knew how to preach the gospel, the real gospel.
Yeah.
So even though you have a place of ministry and great error like World Harvest Church, there are some genuine believers in there.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And was Jimmy Dupree there when you were there? I think he's heading the Bible college now. I think he's... Because who was the president of the Bible college when you went? Rod?
Rod, yeah.
Yeah. So I think Jimmy
Rod
Dupree.
Rod was the president. Elder Canfield was, he was always second in command. You know, he was like the chief.
Yeah, he's the second fiddle. That's about it.
I personally, you know, I feel bad for Elder Canfield because Elder Canfield was one of the, in school, he was one of the most humble and sincere individuals you would have ever met. He really was.
Not anymore.
Phenomenal sense of humor, but sadly, he's just as suckered as everybody else.
Oh, terrible. Terrible.
And it's a shame. It's a shame.
Yeah, it's a shame. Yeah.
Because
a grown man with a mind is mindless.
Right. And the man, I loved him. Everybody did. But the thing is, though, is once you're there, you see. But the four pillars, if I could call it that, that make World Harvest function would be vision, sowing seed, servanthood, and impartation.
Yeah.
These are the four ingredients that you are taught from day in and day out while you're there. And what he talked about with vision was the vision is the key to Rod's ministry. And if you read, if anybody has a Bible in, out of the King James, because he read King James, and I'll read from King James, but Proverbs 29:18 is the foundation of World Harvest Church, and it says, "Where there's no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he." Well, Rod always emphasized the first half of that verse, "Where there is no vision, the people perish."
Yeah.
And he emphasizes vision because he says that vision is, you can't do anything without a vision. And if you were, and he says that vision equals prophetic utterance. So where there is no prophetic utterance, the people perish. And perish, he always said, was cast off restraint and run wild. Well, if you get a good concordance, or a Hebrew lexicon, or you look up the words in the Hebrew, you'll find that those definitions of prophetic utterance and casting off restraint and running wild are only part of what that phrase could mean. You know, you have to read it within context. He doesn't do that.
Yeah.
So he says that vision is where there is no prophetic utterance, you're going to cut off restraint and run wild. In other words, you need World Harvest Church because we have prophetic utterance.
Yeah.
That's the scam. Now, if you remember that caller a couple weeks ago when he was talking about, when you played the sound clip of Rod talking about healing is in the atonement, and how when he was with Lester Sumrall, they were in that place, and Oral Roberts was supposed to be there, but he was sick. And Lester said to him, "I know Oral Roberts is here," because he felt the anointing or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
And the caller that called in said that Rod has been telling that story for years. I'll testify to that. He's been, I was there 14 years ago. He told that story then. What he does is he recycles his stories all the time so that it keeps the mentality fresh.
Yeah.
Because you need to be at World Harvest.
Yeah.
And he needs to sell seats. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, especially that. Oh, but
right.
Now, would you say that World Harvest has become a cult?
I think it was a cult when I was there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean that by the definition of the cult, because a cult, well, I'll plug a name that I know you know. If you want to know about cults, study Dr. Walter Martin.
Yeah.
He was my dad's personal hero, and he's become a hero of mine too, and in his late ministry. But cults, when they have that, you have the leader, and it's based on his interpretation of scripture or religious affairs, and you have the leader that everybody follows. That would fit Rod Parsley.
That really
would. That would fit World Harvest Church. And to give you a further example of that, when he talks about vision, he talks about an event that apparently happened in the 1990s, maybe the late 80s. And when you had talked about a couple weeks ago that the campus of World Harvest Bible College is up for sale, I couldn't believe it. Because I never would have guessed that. Because the way that the campus is laid out, each building is a former church, a former building of World Harvest Church. You have the first building. Yeah, you have the first building was really small, and I think they called it Alpha Hall. I don't remember. And that was like a little, it looked like a little church. It had a steeple, you know.
Yeah, I think
like
that's in the picture that someone sent me. As part of, there's 10 acres for sale, and there's such three buildings. There's a little, I saw that, yeah.
Well, that little itty-bitty building is where the Resurrection Seed scam was birthed, and I'll talk about that a little later. And then the next building they call Dominion Hall, which is like the main building, and that building is where he started to get big. The church was big. He had a lot of attendance. He had his first big stage. And then the third building, I don't remember what it was called or what part of the ministry that was. It may have been, I don't remember exactly, but all three of the buildings were his former churches before he got the main castle on Gender Road in Columbus. So in that building of Dominion Hall, that is like the center of where it all happened. And he talks about an event in the 90s where he was, and he claims that I don't remember what it was called, but if you have the video of this service, you can see when this happened. He claimed he had an open vision.
Oh, yeah.
He claimed that right in the middle of the service, he went into a trance, if you will, and saw.
Oh, no.
I know.
Yeah, they always have these encounters with Jesus.
They always have a trance.
They're special.
Exactly. And he claims that he saw Satan prancing around with a crown on his head. And then out of nowhere, a hand came with a sword and swung the sword in the air three times. And on the third time, it struck Satan on the back of the knees. Satan goes up in the air, lands flat on his back, and the crown rolls. And all of a sudden, a voice comes out and says, "Who is bold enough to pick up the crown?" And Rod apparently announces in the middle of the service, I am. And I'm, man, if you would have seen that, if this guy really went into a trance and all of a sudden starts yelling at something out of thin air, I am, I'd have left because I'd have thought he was nuts.
Come on.
Well,
it's incredulous. In the first place, like, I was talking to a friend of mine a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about, you know, this whole demonology thing. And, okay, so we have authority over the devil, but you can't bind Satan in the world. And
no.
Rod makes it seem like, you know, Satan, he took the crown, like, oh, Rod is this great Christian leader. What did he expect people to bow down to him or what?
No, you see, Rod Parsley is a Dominionist, and I know you'll know what that is and some of your listeners, but you see, he's of the old school latter rain theology mindset, okay?
Yeah.
Whereas today the heretics have evolved into the new apostolic reformation, which is the 21st century incarnation of latter rain theology, where they want to take over the world.
Yeah.
Well, Rod,
okay.
Rod claimed that the crown that fell off Satan's head was Columbus, Ohio. And so Rod said he was the one bold enough to pick up the crown because you're a latter rain theologist, you believe that you are going to lay down the crowns of the world at Jesus' feet.
Wow.
I don't think so. Because
no.
You're not going to have – if Jesus Christ comes back now, nobody's going to have any time to lay anything at his feet because we're going to go and whoever's left is going to be too busy crying out for mercy before they're judged. So nobody's going to be laying down any crowns. So that vision is the foundation for World Harvest Church and Rod Parsley. And – he emphasizes these things because this is going to make you chuckle, but if you look at the stage of World Harvest Church and you look where the choir is at the top, the design of the stage he claims is built to represent the skyline of the city of Columbus, Ohio, to emphasize vision, because vision is everything. And, see, now this is the part where you have error mixed in with truth. He does rightly believe that we as Christians are to be evangelizing, but he goes about it with great error because we are not here to take over the world and then give it to Jesus. He's the king. That's not what it means for us to be kings. you know. They are not content with being given authority in the millennium when Jesus comes back and he gives us our rewards. They're not content to wait for that. They have to have it now.
Oh, yeah. Of course, we know Rod Parsley lives in a mansion.
I've never seen the place, but yeah, apparently.
Well, it's worth over $1 million. I looked at the property records. And his. And they had, he also had some video on the internet from years ago when his kids were small and they had ponies and stuff. So he's got quite a spread. And then his father, well, of course, his father was a builder, I think. So mother has a spread next door. But yeah, it's worth a lot of money. And but we don't notice Rod, you know, sowing all his seeds, giving up his mansion and his lifestyle. We don't notice him making any big sacrifices. Of course, he claims that he sowed $100,000. I don't know if you were there, but he sowed $100,000 for his son's healing. But he gave it to the church. So he didn't give it to anybody except himself.
Yeah, right. He took it from his right pocket and put it in his left.
Yeah.
That's what he did.
Yeah. Yeah.
I always thought that was funny. But, you know, okay.
Were you there when he did that?
I don't think I was there for the $100,000. But when any time, and we'll go into sewing now that we're talking about that. But
okay.
Rod Parsley's philosophy on sewing is exactly what you're describing. But this is his definition of sewing. This is his mentality on it, because he used to say this to us all the time. You can have as much of God as you are willing to pay for. Yeah. And now you and I both know that means money, but it also means time, because he ever emphasized to the Bible college students was serve the ministry, volunteer, because we were there not for an education as much as an impartation, because we were there to serve the house, which is World Harvest Church, and serve the anointing that is on the house.
Man
of God.
I did that too. We just have to serve, and then one day God will look down upon us, and then we can have a great ministry too. So we're like, I don't know, blind. But I think that, like you're saying, when we were going through these kind of things, we had a heart for God and a real heart for God. So I think that's what rescued us, really, is. And the other people that are there, like you said, that really love God and they're good people, and they'll wake up one day too. God will rescue them. I think World Harvest is finished. It's my opinion that they're finished. They've got a multi-million dollar lawsuit that they can't pay, and they're fighting right now with the insurance company because the insurance company is saying they're not going to cover it.
Was that the one from a few years ago where the I guess the youth worker was beating the kids?
Yeah, supposedly, garbage. Yeah, in the daycare or the school or something. And so,
he should take some of that seed money and do some background checks before he hires these people.
Yeah, but it's inevitable that when you're a scam artist, and he talks about sowing and reaping, you're going to reap what you sow one day. You're going to reap what you sow. So if you sow to the flesh, the Bible says you're going to reap corruption. So Rod Parsley certainly sowed corruption.
It's ironic because you mentioned that correctly, and that's Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But the thing is that, along with Luke 6:38, are the two main verses that he twists out of context. And Luke 6:38 is where Jesus said that, you know, given it shall be given to you, a good measure pressed down, shaken together, and running over shall men give unto your bosom. But again, Rod does not read the Bible in its context. And that verse is within the Beatitudes. And the Beatitudes are basically examples of Christ's command to love your neighbor. you know?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's not about that.
Yeah. That's it in a nutshell, isn't it?
I mean, all of these mega church ministries are just modern day indulgences, you know?
Yeah.
What is it? When the coffer rings out of purgatory, a soul springs. Whatever.
Yeah,
that stuff.
The same thing.
Which,
they knew it worked.
They know it works, and the Vatican was built on blood money of people.
Yeah,
that are
it was.
To hell right
still
now,
is.
And world
yeah.
harvest is too far off.
No, it's not too far off, and I thought to myself, and I was even telling a friend of mine this not too long ago. I said, "Something's going to happen. I just know something's going to happen with Rod Parsley. He's sunk to such a low. I mean, something is going to happen." So when I heard that he had throat cancer, and that he couldn't talk, and I'm thinking to myself, well. Okay, maybe somehow, some way he will repent. This thing will knock him down, and he will cry out to God and say, "God, why?" But
well,
he didn't.
You know what? He didn't, and I followed him on Twitter, and every day on Twitter, ever since he's had the throat cancer up until the present day, I believe, he's putting nothing but his positive confessions on Twitter. Well, you know what? If you fine, but positive confession, that's not what Mark 11:22 was talking about. Positive confession, that's Christian Science, which is an antichrist cult, you know.
Yeah.
That's another story. But, you know, you think he's on the bed, the man is on the bed of affliction. If it took cancer to shut him up, he ought to be paying attention.
Exactly.
The writing is on the wall, Rod Parsley. You need to repent. Now, here's the thing. I want to say something good about Rod Parsley, and I really do. Rod Parsley truly is a phenomenal evangelist. He really is. He really can. If church fell on Mother's Day, he could turn Mother's Day church service into the cross and the resurrection, and the altar would be full of souls because he can. Preach the truth about hell. He can preach the need for repentance and the cross of Jesus.
Yeah, but he doesn't believe it.
That's so hard to understand because he can preach it. He can.
He knows how to work it. He knows how to work it.
That's got to be it because, like I said, he could. They just had their Halloween service, you know, and they deck it out where it looks like the set of a horror movie. But I know why he's doing it, because I was a part of one of those before, is because they're trying to show the reality of hell is terrifying and you need to be born again. And
he's not born again himself. He's not born again.
We're known by our fruits. And Jesus.
That's why I can say that, because nobody that's really born again can act like that. To brothers and sisters in Christ, you just can't do it.
No,
because you have to be convicted. You have to be convicted. And if you're not convicted, then you're a reprobate.
No,
or
exactly.
You're not saved.
And when you're bringing in that much money, you need to be paying attention, because you need to be searching your own soul to find out, okay, am I following what Jesus said? Jesus said it's impossible for a rich man who to enter the kingdom of heaven. We know that that's because the rich man's relying on his riches. Well, Lord, is that me? Is that me? I got all this money and I got this empire under my name. Is that me? Rod Parsley, wake up, sir. It might be you.
Yeah, exactly. Because I'm sure never in his wildest dreams did he think that he was going to have to go through what he's going through. I don't think he ever thought it was going to end.
No. And the thing is, you know, here's the thing also, and I want to touch on this real quick. At World Harvest, when you're a Bible college student, remember when I told you he had that vision of Satan in the crown?
Yeah.
Well, he said that after that, when he decided he would be bold enough to pick up the crown of Columbus, Ohio, or whatever it was, he says that God told him this is the catchphrase of World Harvest Bible College. From this spot, you will touch the world. And that's why he has a Bible college, because from this spot, which was where God spoke to him, apparently, you will touch the world through World Harvest Bible College. And then, okay, kids, listen up. If you're going to go to World Harvest Bible College because you feel that you're called there, that's between you and the Lord. Be surprised if once you get there, you realize that you're not very important.
Yeah.
You really don't matter.
Yes.
What matters is Rod Parsley.
Yeah.
That matters. What matters is that Rod Parsley is touching the world for the kingdom of God. You just happen to be the glove.
Yes, exactly, exactly. And
yeah.
What kind of education are you giving beautiful young people that come there hungry for God, and then all they're getting is one scam after another, and bow down and worship Rod Parsley, serve Rod Parsley, stay here for years and work for free, and maybe some of this will rub off on you, and then teaching young people how to scam people if you're going to have a Bible college, you have to teach people about faith. You have to teach them to walk by faith. And you have to be an example yourself. So what kind of example is Rod Parsley and Joni Parsley and Ashton Parsley, who seems to have picked up the torch there? What are they really teaching these young people? Yeah, young people or whoever, stay away from that place. And parents, please don't send your children there.
Well, exactly. And the thing is, if you want to walk by faith, there's a different definition at World Harvest Church. It's give your money, believe God, and serve me. Because I am parsley, serve me.
Were you ever able to talk to Rod and him Rod and talk to him like he's a regular person?
No, because he's not a regular person. I'm not a medical expert, but I remember in one service his mother was talking about his social awkwardness. Now, if Rod Parsley genuinely suffers from something medical, I sympathize with him because he can't help it. Okay. But the thing is, though, if you ever meet him in private, he's very, very weird. He's very uncomfortable. Now, he might be an introverted personality. Fine. But, you know, when you see him on stage, he's this charismatic leader. But I remember one time it was his birthday, and they had a big birthday party for him. And he was in the building, you know, and I went up to him. And I wished him a happy birthday. And the man couldn't even look me in the eye. His eyes were all over the place. He looked like he was trying to get out of there. You know, he couldn't even look me in the eye to say thank you. You know, he beelined out of there. You know, he can't handle it. Fine. You know, like I said, I'm not a medical expert, but it's weird. Now, if I could just go back to what we were talking about, because I want people to know more about the financial end of things.
Yes, please.
Every year, Rod Parsley claims to have a prophetic word for the new year, and it always has something to do with the numeral significance of that year. So, for example, in 2001, he released his book On the Brink because he claimed that in 2001 we were on the verge, on the edge, on the brink of some new thing that God was doing, and then he got a lot of money. Now, that was when I first got there. Then when 2002 came around, he says that the prophetic significance of the number two in the year has to do with double, because he's always preaching double for your trouble. And then in 2002, you had the two zeros, and then the number two signified that if you didn't catch it the first time, God would repeat himself. Well, I don't know what he was saying, what that meant, but he had this phenomenal scam. I mean, this scam was a home run for con artists, and it was found in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 22 through 29, where God instructs the Israelites that every 3 years they are to give another tithe, a secondary tithe. So his mandate for 2002 was for everybody to give double tithes. So now I gave up tithing. Now I've heard you tell the story that you gave up tithing years ago. I gave up tithing a few years ago because it's just not biblical.
Yeah.
You know, never in the Bible was tithing money. And if you're going to let the Bible interpret itself, you know, there's no the tithe doesn't carry over into the New Testament, nor did it ever stop. It was always agricultural. So that's another thing. But if you I'm not going to read it because I don't want to take up time, but if you get a chance, read Deuteronomy 14:22-29. If you look in verse 23, the Lord says that thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name. And then he goes, and then the Lord describes all the different agricultural forms of the tithe, like corn and wine and all these things. Well, Rod claimed that if you're going to give money, you need to give to a place that God has chosen to place his name, such as the soul-winning ministry of, you guessed it, World Harvest Church.
Yeah.
So everybody, now I'm a full-time Bible college student. I'm barely working a full-time job, and I'm impressionable and naive. So I definitely suffered financially that year. Many do. Yeah, giving 20% of my finances
every
20% there. And even my own mother, you know, my mom, my parents are men and women of God, and my mom kept telling me, she was like, nothing's happening. Stop doing it. But I was so brainwashed that I couldn't even listen to the godly wisdom of my own mother.
Trying to save
me from this.
Yeah.
But that happens to all of them. Everybody gets to that point when you go to a place like this. Now, if you read verse 29, the Lord talks about giving to the stranger and to the fatherless and to the widow. Now, Rod translated, now watch this, this is a good one. Rod translated that to the strangers and the fatherless are orphans and widows. So you have strangers, orphans, and widows, and you have in that the acronym SOW, which spells so.
Oh.
That's a good one. I'm not a con artist, and that's a good one.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously, I got to take my hat
only
on,
he
you
can
know?
Think of, only he can think of that one.
Man, I don't know where he got that one, but he would tell you in your check, when you're writing the memo of your check, write tithe and then put in parentheses the number of the double tithe and then write SOW so it can go to the stranger, the orphan, and the widow.
Yeah, God was really impressed with that, too.
Oh, yeah, but you know what, though, and talking again about being brainwashed, I remember as the year was going on, and I'm in the middle of this, and I'm thinking to myself, if this was truly God's law for tithing, wouldn't all of the churches be doing this?
Yeah.
Wouldn't every church in America and the world, wouldn't every pastor be doing this because it was God's word? And if not, would they be in disobedience? Why is World Harvest the only one emphasizing this supposed word from God? Well, again, when you're brainwashed, you don't listen to wisdom because you're brainwashed.
Yeah.
And,
yeah, that's what people say. When you're deceived, you don't know you're deceived.
You don't. I mean, you are.
No, I didn't know it either.
No. The blind lead the blind, and they both end up in a ditch. But I give praise to the Lord Jesus that he had mercy.
Yes, he had mercy on us. Oh.
Yeah,
mercy.
And the Holy Spirit, I know the Holy Spirit convicted me, and I know he convicted you, and I pray your listeners that they, if they're in this, repent. And Rod, if you're listening, the writing's on the wall, buddy. Repent.
Yeah, because it doesn't get prettier from here. I don't care what you say, Rod Parsley. You didn't get a miracle. You look like a dead man walking. And like the brother said, the handwriting's on the wall. It's on the wall. And you can't escape God's judgment.
No. And now that you're mentioning it, when you said a dead man walking, that reminded me, Susan, his life was on the line once already when I was there. because he had a really bad diet. And he went to a health, he went to a doctor, and the doctor told him he was a dead man walking.
Yeah, and then he started bringing the nutritionist there. I think Ted Brower started coming over there to help
him. Yeah, Ted Brower, that was the man. It was Ted Brower told him this, and then that was, I don't know a lot of, I was there when Ted Brower was there, but, you know, that was another financial scam. But one of the other things, because he was talking, you know, you wanted to talk about this whole scam that just went through Christianity, the Shemitah and all that junk.
Oh, yeah. Before I forget, though, I want to ask you one question, because I know this Rod now has a tattoo. Did you see that?
No. Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. Yeah.
I hope. No.
Yeah, he has a picture of himself on the radiation table. In fact, I think it's on my program screen here. If you when you go to the the program, I actually have a picture of him getting his radiation. You'll see he has a tattoo. I think Rod Parsley has a double life. I think he has a double life, but you know, that's going to come out too.
I remember a few years ago he put out pictures on social media of him and a bunch of his friends riding Harleys, and I'm like, oh, that okay, because I'm looking, I'm on your page
right
now.
Do you see it?
That's disgusting. No offense,
yeah.
I'm not seeing you without your shirt, but hey, buddy. Wow.
Yeah. I thought that was very telling. Extremely telling.
I'm sorry, that's hysterical to me. I wonder if a Bible college student gave it to him. But
no, I mean, it's really ugly. It's a really ugly tattoo, too. But it looks like he's got some kind of a symbol there, I think, at World Harvest, where he uses that cross.
Yeah, I think that's
you've seen it, right?
I think that's the cross. Yeah, I think that's the cross that is the logo of his church.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit more grotesque on him.
Grotesque. I couldn't believe it when I saw that. I was like,
no.
I suspected this man has a double life. Now, that to me was part of his rebellion. Because when people get into this kind of era, they get into all kinds of stuff.
Yeah,
the stuff.
I mean, I know he's an error, but I didn't know he went that bad, you know. And I don't judge people for having ink. That's whatever. But the thing, being that it's him,
yeah, because he didn't get this in his youth.
No, that looks pretty fresh to me.
Yeah, he didn't get it when he was not saved, because he claims that he was saved when he was 17. And Rod used to come up to Crystal River. I don't know if you heard me mention this, but he used to come up to Crystal River, Florida, and a ministry I was associated with, Norval Hayes Ministries, they had a church there. And Rod used to come there when he was single and he was skinny, and, you know, this is when he was first starting, and there would only be maybe 100 people or so that even came out for this thing, because nobody knew him yet.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't really have any conversations with him except, you know, to say hi or whatever, because you could get close to him at the time. But
you can't get 10 feet within him right now, you know.
No. And the crazy thing is that I don't want to spend too much time talking, but I'll just mention this briefly.
Yeah.
This is when Clint Brown was there. I don't know if he was there when you were there.
Yeah,
and
he would have come off a couple times a year. He would come out to speak.
But he wasn't the praise and worship leader then when you were there,
okay,
right? He already left?
No.
Because I think
he was
there in the 80s.
Yeah, correct. That, if I remember the stories correctly, but he would come as a guest. And I mean, I saw everybody there, you know, because one of the nice things about being a Bible college student is you have free admission. So whenever
free admission, you mean they charge people?
No. Let me clarify that. Anytime he has a special thing going on, like his Dominion camp meeting or any of that other stuff.
Oh, you get a seat.
Yeah, you get a free seat because you're a Bible college student. You don't have to buy a ticket. So
you don't have to worry about not getting a seat. Yeah.
I saw Benny Hinn for free. I saw Jesse DePlantis a bunch of times. John Hagee, Copeland, I can't remember who else.
They all pass through there. But anyway, when I first started to realize that there was really something wrong with Rod Parsley was, I guess it was in the 80s. And I was going to start a television ministry, and I wanted people to come on, ministries to come on the channel. And I went up to Rod, and I told him that I was going to start this TV thing in Aspen, Colorado. It would be in Aspen, a great place to evangelize people, and in Denver. Uh-huh. So I told Rod, I said, well, it's only going to be $50 for an hour of airtime. So I said, this would be a great opportunity for you to come on and preach the gospel to these people. He said, well, you'll have to talk to Clint because he's my TV agent or whatever. You know, so I go up to Clint. Yeah, and I'm thinking, like, this brother is supposed to be an evangelist, so he wants to win souls. He's always talking about winning souls, and here we've got this great opportunity. And so I go to Clint, and I say, I just talked to Rod. He told me to talk to you about going on this network, and it's only going to be $50 for an hour. It'd be a great outreach to the people of Aspen. And he says, well, we don't do that. He said, we have to do a marketing study.
Oh, of course. Of course. Yeah, I don't doubt that.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it.
$50? Yeah, $50. That's nothing for him.
A week?
$50.
For an hour to preach the gospel? I'm like, wow, you know, I was like little Pollyanna there thinking everybody loves the Lord, and this guy doesn't love the Lord.
What a hypocrite, because every time he takes an offering, he's always saying stuff like, how much is a soul worth?
They didn't care. They wanted to do a market study to see how much money they were going to make before they went to preach the gospel.
What a nut. he's always talking, they cost Jesus everything he had. You can sacrifice a latte, you know. He would tell you, you know, you use your credit card to buy $100 tennis shoes. Why don't you use it for the kingdom of God?
I couldn't believe it. I was like, wow, I thought all these people really love the Lord. They would do anything for the Lord.
I thought he did too, but I don't know anymore. You know, but how much time do we have, Susan? Because I would really
We still have about 25 minutes.
Okay,
I know you've got your point, so I'll be quiet and I'll let you do your, because I know you did your research with your points and the things you want to get across. So go ahead,
well,
and program's yours.
I want to make sure that you and your listeners know how he got the Resurrection Seed scam.
Okay.
Okay, Resurrection Seed. Remember how I told you that the buildings, the little itty bitty church that had the steeple, you know, that was.
Do you have pictures of World Harvest? Do you have some pictures?
I don't have them on me. I would have. They're probably in boxes.
Oh, okay.
I would have to find them. If I can find them.
Yeah, that would be good if you had some pictures. I'd like to see some of your pictures.
Or maybe I can do some searching online at some of my old Bible college buddies. Maybe they have some they can share with me.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like I think you said you had a picture of it. But, you know, picture this old country church with a steeple, you know, and, you know, an old country church, you know, like you'd see in the country or on a movie. That was where he started out, and that's the first building that they call Alpha Hall at World Harvest. And that was the little itty bitty church that he started out in after, I think it was maybe after he started in his backyard or something. And then he came up with the Resurrection Seed scam. And he said that he was in his studio apartment and he was troubled because he felt that, I guess, the Lord was dealing with him. So he wasn't seeing the return, I guess, on his financial investment. I don't know what he was missing. So he said to the Lord, Lord, what's wrong here? And he said, Lord, what Lord? He held his Bible up to heaven and pointed into Malachi 10. He said, Lord, you said it right here. You would open up the windows of heaven. Now I know that it's not you, so it's got to be me. What am I doing wrong? Ah. and he says that the Lord spoke the Lord spoke to him and said, I gave my best on Calvary. You need to give your best. So he said, once a year, I want you to tell the people that I gave my best on Calvary, and this once a year, I want you to give your best and give at least 1 week's income in what we call resurrection seed. And that was his manipulation, because John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave, right? So you are, this is another one of his famous quotes, his famous lines, you know, his, he should put it on a business card. You're never more like God than when you give. So if you want to be like God, Susan, you better give that resurrection seed. And I never saw anybody suffer the way that those Bible college students would suffer to get money to put in his offering plate.
And
then, remember how I told you, see, all of these things that he teaches, they all are recycled. They all circle around. So because vision is the focal point of his ministry and everything is based on vision, and remember, vision is all about receiving prophetic words, so resurrection seed is the prophetic word. See how this all ties together?
Yeah.
So you've got the prophetic word, and this is the vision for Easter. So every Easter, I'm going to do this resurrection seed, and then he came up with the whole thing about 40 days, science, the science of 40 days, and things die after 40 days. So what he would call, it was like World Harvest's version of Lent. Okay?
Yeah. I hope he doesn't start wearing a priest uniform. That might be next, and a hat, Pope hat and all that.
So you know how in Lent you fast for 40 days and all that stuff? Well,
yeah.
If for resurrection seed, you fast for 40 days, and In the process of doing that, you're supposed to figure out some way of getting extra money so you can get one paycheck's worth of money to give him. So he had, and people would get second jobs. My mother, because you see, Bible college students, they come from all over the place. You have people that were in ministry. You have mothers.
Yeah.
You have grandmothers, grandfathers, fathers, people from other countries. And you'd have moms. There's a very large Hispanic community in Columbus, Ohio. So there were a lot of the Hispanic moms would make phenomenal homemade breakfast burritos and food. Cultural foods. And because they were brainwashed also, and they believed that if they sold those breakfast burritos and those goods at Bible college to the students, that they would take the money and then they would give it in the resurrection seed.
Oh.
And so, what's that? Hello?
Yeah, I almost lost you there.
Oh, man, I got worried. I thought we got disconnected.
Yeah.
So I remember one thing I did. I think one year I gave up cable television and used money that I was spending on cable to put in the resurrection seed. I forget what I did.
Oh, yeah,
But people would
Everybody sacrifices except Rod.
Well, you see, Rod already made his sacrifice years ago when he put the ministry together. Because, you see, if you're a member of the Parsleys, you're a member of the Parsley family, you've already made your sacrifices because he's always telling stories about what it was like growing up. And, you know, if he grew up in poverty, that's terrible. And I'm not trying to make light of that. But if he would always talk about how his mom would have to put cardboard in the bottom of her shoes because they didn't have money to buy new shoes. Well, you know what? If that's true, I feel bad. I don't wish that upon anybody. But don't use that to manipulate me in the name of our Lord.
Yeah.
You know, and stop, you know, that's how you grew up. I can't help that. What do you want me to do about it? I'm not responsible for that. So So don't put, don't make me responsible for your past now.
Yeah.
So
they sure made up for it.
Yeah, exactly. So see, when see, here's the thing. When something happens to him, it's Satan attacking him. But when it happens to you, it's a trial of your faith.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So so you have that also that you have to remember is it depends on who's being attacked. That depends on the reason for the attack and what lesson you're supposed to get out of it or whatever, you know. So it's all based on who's in the spotlight, I guess, at the time. So that's how he came up with the resurrection seed. It was funny because I look back and I laugh because in order to, now that he's given the prophetic word about resurrection seed, he has to have something to represent the vision so that when you always have it in your mind. So for the entire 40 days of the resurrection seed, that first year I was there, he had a recliner on the stage that he left there, a recliner. And that recliner supposedly was the seat that he was sitting in when the Lord spoke the resurrection seed to him.
It sounds like Joseph, what's that guy's name from the Mormons?
Oh, Joseph Smith.
Yeah, it sounds like him.
Yeah.
When
right,
he got the tablets from Moroni.
Yeah, exactly, with that black sack over his head or something. I forget, you know, and he saw that. Oh, my. I mean, it's like you say in your show all the time, you can't make this up. I wish I could make this up. I wish I could
he's
make
delusional.
This up.
He really is. He's delusional, this guy.
I think
he's lost
his
mind.
Yeah, I don't know when he lost it, but it's been gone for a long time. And so, I mean, everything that I've talked about, it just recycles itself day in and day out, year after year. Because, you see, here's the thing. Rod Parsley has World Harvest Church. He has Columbus, Ohio. He will never be one of the big dogs. Okay, he's buddies with Benny Hinn. He's got Kenneth Copeland coming. I sent you that picture, that advertisement that came in my mail the other day. Kenneth Copeland's coming to town. But you see, he'll never be as big as them. He'll never.
Yeah, he can't draw a crowd like they can draw.
No.
Yeah, Frog Parks is coming to town. They're not coming out by the tens of thousands to see him.
Yeah, he's like the designer imposter. You can go to the store and buy the real article, or you can go to a dollar store and get the imitation. Rod's the imitation of the big dogs.
Yeah.
And they're all in theological error. But that's the truth of the matter. You know, he's got his church, and he's got his little campus on World Harvest, and that's his little kingdom.
Yeah, that's his
and
kingdom,
He may be on television, but you see, he'll never be as big as Benny. He'll never be as big as Kenny. And his ministry will never be as big as TVN, you know? And I don't know if that bothers him or if he just doesn't care because he's got his own empire.
He's got his own empire, but I'm sure because he's such an egotist, it probably does bother him because he's very self-centered, extremely self-centered person.
Yeah,
and I don't get it with his wife. Like, your wife is supposed to be a helpmeet, and she's supposed to help you and say, honey, you know. But she just goes along with the whole thing. His wife.
Yeah, she sadly she's just as much as him. And the thing is, it's like that caller said a couple weeks ago. World Harvest is a family-run empire. It's for his family, and that's that. And one thing is part of the culture. Remember how you had mentioned this a couple weeks ago in that video? You were talking about how somebody escorted Joni up on stage. She called them the armor bearers, and they referred to her as the first lady of the house.
Yeah, yeah.
That's because World Harvest is run like a dictatorship. World Harvest, he's the king, she's the queen. His mom, I don't know what she is, but
she's just as whacked as him.
Yeah, she's wacky.
Worse.
Yeah, she's wacky. Yeah, she definitely is.
I remember, Rod gets, and I'm going to go back to that caller. That caller was talking about how on Sundays the attendance in the church is like it would be on a Wednesday night. See,
yeah, you know, and he mentioned it was Todd, and he mentioned that there's
Todd.
A curtain in the back, and this week I saw that curtain. They actually showed it. I guess somebody made a mistake, but there's a black curtain hanging up so you don't see the empty seats.
Correct, and that it was like that when I was there because on Sundays he filled the house. I mean, you couldn't find a parking space, and it would take you a half hour to get out of the parking lot to get on the main road. The place was so full.
Yeah.
And on Wednesday nights, that curtain was always closed because he never got the turnout he did on Wednesday nights. And that would infuriate him.
Yeah.
He hated that because he was always talking, you should be in church every time the doors are open. You should have your kids. If you're going to have family night with your family, get them into church where they belong. Blah, 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 and all that. And he would rant and rave, and he'd get so mad. Well, we know now, in hindsight, the reason he was so mad is because you didn't get as big of an offering on Wednesday nights. Well, if that's what it is now on Sundays, the writing is really on the wall. Because he's not getting the crowd he used to get anymore.
It's just not
happening. And the thing is, that like I was saying, that place is run like a dictatorship. When Joni is the first lady, he's the president, okay? And you are taught this in the Bible college. You are taught from day one in orientation that if you are in a room and Rod Parsley just happens to walk into that room, on whatever lucky luck of the draw is there that day that he is in the building, if he walks in the room, whatever you are doing, you stop and you stand up to salute the man of God. Oh, yeah. And it's the same thing with Joni. It's the same thing with his mother. And we had to sign an agreement. I'm not making this up. At orientation, we signed an agreement that we would defend the ministry and that we would uphold by these standards. And they had this, if you want to talk about a cult, this is a cult, okay? Now, Columbus is a busy place, and Gender Road is right in the middle of all the hustle and bustle. You know, you've got all the grocery stores, you've got everything that you need right in the middle of Gender Road, because that's the way that the town is laid out. And then you have right outside of that, just about a quarter of a mile, is the church. So there's a lot of places, there's a lot of restaurants, there's all the stores that you need to survive. Everything is right there. So if you're out and about and you're with your buddies at the Bible college or whatever, and say you're at lunch after church and you're talking about school, you know, you're talking about the sermon, you're just having conversation, they instruct you not to speak about Rod Parsley by name, but to use his initials in conversation. So if I was out in public talking to my buddy about Pastor Parsley, I was required to speak using the initials PRP, Pastor Rod Parsley, if I'm speaking about him in public, because there are so many people that are against his ministry. We are there to defend his ministry and not to contribute to the slander. And I had to sign an agreement to do this. I wish I had a copy of it. I would read it.
I wish you did, too.
On the air, but I don't have it. That was 15 years ago. I don't have it anymore. But, I had to sign an agreement. They gave you the carbon copy.
That's amazing. And the thing, too, is that even his wife, when she talks about him, she calls him Pastor. She doesn't even call him Rod. Or his daughter, when she's talking about him, she calls him Pastor Parsley. It's just ridiculous.
Right, because you got to remember, they're still old school word of faith. And in the word of faith heresy, you have the concept that the man of God is the anointed one, or the touch not the Lord's anointed.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't know, which basically means you don't say anything bad because a curse could come upon you or whatever. But they don't know what that means. David had every chance to kill King Saul in that cave.
Touching
up the Lord's anointed means
Smack him. He didn't smack him or stab him. Yeah, that's what it means.
Right. And David rebuked Saul. We know
He rebuked him. Yeah.
Yeah. So
just like Nathan, just like Nathan rebuked David.
Exactly. The prophet Nathan rebuked David for his adultery, and that's what it means to touch the Lord's anointed means to kill him. Well, nobody's trying, maybe not right now, but nobody's trying to kill Rod Parsley. So that's just part of the brainwashing when you're at
that school. Part of the brainwashing. Yeah, very effective, though. It has to be very effective.
Well, see, they hold, it's like a carrot in front of a donkey. What you are there for is to receive the impartation of faith that was given to Rod Parsley by Lester Sumrall. Lester Sumrall apparently got it from Smith Wigglesworth, who got it from some Joe Schmo and who then and it goes all the way back. All the way back to the Apostle Paul. It's really funny to me because he's always talking about this great lineage of faith that's at World Harvest Church, but he never talks about how if this was real, it goes back to Jesus Christ.
Exactly. Yeah, we don't have anything. What are you talking about? It's like, shut up. You're nothing.
I've seen the video, because they used to play the video of when Lester Sumrall laid hands on Rod and Joni, and they fell in the spirit and received the so-called impartation of faith. And Lester Sumrall gives Rod and Joni a military sword that symbolizes the sword of the spirit.
Oh, yeah. He used to I have a cartoon of him holding that sword.
But you know what's hilarious to me is that what I always thought was weird is that supposed sword that symbolizes the sword of the spirit was actually a sword that I think, if I'm not mistaken, came from Nazi Germany. So there's probably a swastika on the stupid thing. So
yeah.
I wouldn't doubt it. I'm like, how funny is that? You know, you're acting like a spiritual Hitler with the way you treat people. You ought to have that sword.
Yeah.
So, and then they fell over, and everybody wept and cried and laughed and did all this other charismatic mumbo jumbo. And then that is the whole reason why you're at World Harvest, is to receive this so-called impartation of faith, which is the reason why you're supposed to be volunteering your time to serve in the church. Because you're there to serve the anointing and serve the man of God and all this other garbage. Because he doesn't, and the whole thing is from, and if you know impartation, you know it's from 2 Timothy 1:5, where the Apostle Paul talks about, I don't have it right in front of me, I could get it in a second here. Let's see here. 2 Timothy 1:5 in the King James, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. That one verse is the whole thing for impartation. And that one verse justifies this whole lineage of faith thingamabob that he's talking about.
Oh, dear. It would make a great documentary. I would just love to see somebody take all this and make programs and have a series on TV of all things that happen to people in their Christian walk. I think it would be so dynamic, because this is great. This is real drama and theater in action of how we can be so we're born again and we have the Holy Spirit, but yet we can fall. Yeah. We can still fall for stuff like this.
Yes.
These people still know how to push those buttons in us and to get us to be brainwashed and to get us to basically serve them instead of really serving the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet God in his mercy delivered us, and we thank you, Jesus. And that's what we want to do when we do these programs, is we want people to know what we've experienced, and we know that you're probably feeling the same things we felt when these things were going on, that somehow deep down inside we were saying, now, how did you get out?
You know what? It was a turn of events that were outside of the ministry, really. There was, I was there for 4 years, like I said, and my fourth year I spent played guitar. I was one of the lead guitar players for the Bible College when I was in school, and then I joined the youth ministry as the lead guitar player, and I met some great people that are still my friends to this day, who I still stay in touch with on Facebook and things. I love them. But that was actually, joining the youth ministry was actually very therapeutic for me, because the Lord was in it, and He opened the door for me to be there. And because I knew if I were to be asked today, what was your motivation? I would say 100%, I was there for the Lord. I was there because I loved the Bible and I wanted to learn more about the Bible. But I graduated the college with a degree in evangelism and missions, a diploma of arts and religion. So yeah. I chose that topic of study at His Bible College because I really didn't know how to evangelize. And I wanted somebody to teach me in my daily life, how do you tell people about Jesus? And I really do feel that the instructors that He had in place at the time taught me that. It may not have been specifically from Him, but that's from Rod, but whatever. The people that did teach me that, I really feel were the real deal. But in my fourth year, when I was playing in the youth group, it was a time of tremendous connection with the other musicians and with the youth ministry, and you start to make friends with the kids. And it was just the best year of those 4 years that I was there. And the youth pastor at the time was one of my former teachers in the school, and everybody loved him. He was just his name was David, and everybody loved him, and with good reason. He was the man for the job. But we all suspected that there may have been some inner politics going on, because we all came to the service one day to play, and he was gone. And all of a sudden was this new kid on the block, this young, I'll just call him like a young whippersnapper of a kid who had a big ego, and he's just young kid, was now the youth pastor, and nobody knew him, you know. But yeah. he had a big vision, but he had a lot of talk, you know. That this kid was the new leader on the block, but it just didn't sit well with everybody. I don't even remember his name, but and it's just like I could just feel it in my spirit that something was changing, and I just felt like the clock was ticking on my time there. And it's just like, maybe it's part of being a musician, when artistic people have like an extra sensitive side to things, I guess. And I remember being on the stage and I'm playing, and all of a sudden, like, I didn't have this energy musically that I used to have. And the band was off, you know, the music was off. We weren't together. We got to the point as musicians where we knew what the other guy was going to play before he played it. And only musicians understand that connection.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it wasn't there. And, you know, we were there still for the Lord, but the youth pastor, like I said, this guy had a big ego, and he would embarrass us in front of the whole youth group and say things like, I don't even remember why, but I remember one time he stood up in the front and he was like, he said, I want everybody to say to the praise and worship team, we don't need you. And the whole youth group chanted at us, we don't need you.
Wow.
And a bunch of us got up and left. I wasn't one of them. I was just sitting there, you know, because I didn't want to leave, because then that would mean that my guitar was by itself on the stage, and I didn't want that. It's just one of those things, you know. I don't want to be out of the sight of my instruments because I'm afraid something's going to happen to them. So I stayed on the stage myself. But I remember the bass player, he got up, shrugged his shoulders, and out the door he went. And then I was just like, wow, this is new. What's this all about?
Yeah.
And then I remember one time I'm on the stage and we were playing a song, and I was, you know, playing the chords, and I just happened to look up, and on the balcony above us there was Rod sitting with his feet up on the edge of the balcony just watching things. And, you know, we weren't really in it. We weren't really playing well. But all of those things led up to, you know, the writing was on the wall for me. You know, and I knew something, this thing was closing down. And then what happened was I worked for the apartment complex that I lived in, and there was some communication errors. And all in all, make a long story short, I got fired from my job.
Yeah.
But the thing was, I had been praying up until that point that the Lord would open the door for me to come back home. I live in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and I wanted to come back home. And that was my get out card. The minute the connection wasn't there, I didn't really feel like I was an integral part of the ministry. I didn't feel like there was really a spot for me anymore. And then I lose my job and then my home. You know, because I lived on the property, and then I just packed up and came back home. And 10 years later, here I am.
Yeah.
So that was how I got out. Is the Lord used the circumstances of my life?
The circumstances, to get you out. Yeah.
Exactly. And now looking back, I'm so glad that He did.
Yeah. It's like, yeah, sometimes God rocks our boat and we say, wow, what's happening? But He's really trying to get us out of a bad situation.
And He did. He rocked my boat, but you know what? When I had peace, and that's only because it was the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. Yeah, well, our time is gone, Nate, but you know what?
Oh,
this was great. I'm so glad I got to talk with you.
Oh,
and for you to share today, I really enjoyed it, you know, your insight. I'm going to have you come back because I want you to, you know, write out more things that you can remember, and we'll talk about it, because I think you have an interesting perspective being there for 4 years. You have a lot more information that you can share with us.
Yeah, I'll have to think more about some things that I may have forgotten, but I would love to come
back.
Yeah,
but it was great, really, really
wonderful.
Great talking
Thank
with
you.
But I would like you to, before we close, I would like you to do some evangelism and speak to our audience about knowing Jesus.
All right, if you are listening to this program, you don't know Jesus Christ, you need to know that Jesus Christ is, first of all, God. Jesus Christ is God, and He was sent to the earth 2,000 years ago with the mission of taking on the sins of the world to die in our place on the cross. Now, the cross was the most gruesome form of Roman execution in the Roman times, and that was the method that Jesus Christ took as a sacrificial lamb of God to die for our sins. The Bible says that in the beginning of all time, was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus was that Word because He was sent from God, and it says in the Bible that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace, truth, and mercy for all who would believe. Now, Jesus Christ loves you, and God sent Him into the world as God in human flesh to take on our sins. And if you don't know Him, you need to understand that you are not promised to live another day. I am not promised another day. Nobody is promised another day. And eternity is a very, very long time. If you are not at peace with God, you need to understand that everybody, we are all sinners. We have all broken God's laws. We all deserve to go to hell. But Jesus Christ shed His sinless blood so that we could be forgiven and given eternal life if we would believe on Him. So if you do not know Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you, please stop what you are doing and say, Lord Jesus, I believe in You, that You are God the Son. You were sent by God to die for my sins. I believe You died for my sins and that God raised You from the dead 3 days later. Please forgive me of my sins. I have transgressed Your law. Forgive me, and please give me eternal life. And He will come into your life and give you eternal life, and you will be with God forever in heaven.
Hallelujah. Thank You. Thank You, Jesus. Amen. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening today. And, Nate, can people contact you anyway on the internet?
Yes. I'm working on getting my own thing going on here. But if you want to email me, you can email me at christcenteredresearch@gmail.com.
Okay.
All one word, christcenteredresearch@gmail.com.
Okay, then. Great. Yeah, we'll look forward to having Nate back because it was a great program. Thank you so much, Nate. We'll be talking.
Oh, thank you, Susan.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for tuning in. And don't forget the most important thing is to give your life to Jesus Christ today. He will forgive your sins. He will give you eternal life. He will give you a brand new life today. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Hey, record. Here we go.
I'll be in heaven and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in